Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 21 years now. We've been bringing these messages to you, and we hope you've enjoyed them. We hope you've received some inspiration, some instruction. We thank the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and the provision from you, the listener. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We appreciate your support. And we hope you also continue to come back each and every Sunday and continue to support this radio broadcast. Talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? And what can we learn about him studying God's word? And so if you have your Bible there today, turn it to John chapter 14, and we'll take up this. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I want to give you just a brief update of what's going on in Kenya. We've started on the school project. We have 2 acres of land next to the children's home, and between the children's home and the church, we're building a primary school for 200 students there of Makunda Village. And so this is going to be a wonderful addition to the ministry, a wonderful addition to the village of Makunda, give an opportunity for children to get a good basic education. Many of these children drop out of school typically when they're grade 8, some of them grade 6. And so we're going to be able to give them a good education foundation in ABCs, and at the same time evangelize, tell them about Jesus, sing songs about Jesus. And so some of these kids are of other faiths, and so it'll be an opportunity to evangelize and give them exposure about the kingdom of God and the Christian faith. So if you have any questions about that, we're trying to raise $300,000, 3 different buildings on this acre, trying to raise $300,000 to get the buildings built and get everything ready for the children. So if you have questions, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can discuss any questions that you may have. So today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, to put it simply, is God in spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the third member of the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this is somewhat complicated to people who have never studied about the Holy Spirit, or people who've never really heard much about the Holy Spirit. But if you go to John chapter 14 and 15, chapter 15, chapter 16, those 3 chapters are the most comprehensive in the New Testament regarding teaching of the Holy Spirit. And those 3 chapters, Jesus himself was doing the teaching the 12 disciples primarily, and he was telling them that he was preparing them for the time when he would no longer be walking with them on the earth. And so this was a earth-shattering thing for them to hear. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe that Jesus was going to be leaving them. They didn't understand that he was going to the cross shortly in Jerusalem, that he would be crucified, shed his blood, and fulfill the plan of God for his life, and that he would be leaving this earth and leaving the disciples behind. And he had only been with them for 3.5 years, and I'm sure they thought he was going to be with them for many, many years to come. And so this was an earth-shattering thing to them, and they had to understand that what he was leaving them, or who he was leaving with them, was going to be his replacement here on the earth, in a sense, replace his physical presence with the Spirit of the living God. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to John chapter 14, and we will take up this. There's some selected verses in 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus is directly talking to them about the Holy Spirit. And so this is important to us so that we know here 2,000 years later that the Spirit of the living God can abide with us and does abide with us when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says to the disciples, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Well, the name for that helper is Paraclete in the Greek language, Paraclete or Advocate, Helper, Counselor. And so the Paraclete is given to us, and Jesus said that he may abide with you forever. Well, he will certainly abide with you when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you repent of your sins, ask the Lord to come into your life, you're baptized, you then submit to the Lord as your Lord and as your Savior, and at that point in time, when you receive the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit abides with you. He will be with you, and he will abide in you forever. Verse 17 in John 14, "Or the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you have known him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so that's another name for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Not only is Jesus truth, but the Holy Spirit is truth because the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Jesus Christ are in unison. They're in unity. They are in one accord. They recognize, acknowledge, and agree with each other in every single aspect of the Godhead, in every single aspect of the kingdom of God. There's no dissension. There's no disagreement. When the Holy Spirit comes, we'll look at some of these scripture here coming up here in just a minute. When the Holy Spirit comes, he has been sent by the Father, from the Father, and sent by Jesus, and given to us as the Spirit of truth, given to us as a counselor, and given to us as an advocate. And we can trust everything that the Holy Spirit relates to us, relays to us, teaches us, instructs us. We can trust it because it's coming from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. And so Jesus goes on to say, he will dwell with you and be in you. Then verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And that right there, beloved, is the clue to how the scriptures were written. The Holy Spirit brought to the men who were anointed to write the books of the Bible, anointed to write the letters of the Bible, the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance things that Jesus said, brought to their remembrance things that other people said. And so the Holy Spirit brought to these men through the anointing that was given to them by the Holy Spirit, they were able to write the words that were not words of men. They were words of God, words written of God by the Holy Spirit. And so that is why the Bible, there's no other book like it any place on the earth. There's no other book that inspires people, teaches people, and gives people instruction and reproof and rebuke. And so that is why you need to read your Bible. And not only in the words of God did they instruct, but also they instructed disciples after Jesus exited this earth, after Jesus left this earth, Acts chapter 1, he left. But also, even today, this very day, now 2,000 years later after Jesus left, we have the very same Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, to instruct us and guide us and teach us in all things. The Father, he will teach you all things. The Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Then in John chapter 15, Jesus goes on to say, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And so we have a witness of Jesus Christ, and that witness is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. And so that witness is with you when you make decisions. That witness is with you when you have big decisions to make in your life, or when you are encountering situations or even encountering people and you don't know the truth about those people. The Holy Spirit will speak to you the truth about those people. And so verse 27 then in John 15, Jesus said, "And you also, you disciples, you will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And so he was prophesying to them that they would be witnesses of the kingdom of God, witnesses of Jesus' walk on this earth, witnesses of the resurrection. And so all of these, except for Judas, who failed and dropped away, all of these disciples at this point, they became witnesses just as Jesus prophesied that they would. Well, John 16 then, we go on to read here what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. "Nevertheless, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." So essentially Jesus was saying, I have to go. It's my time to go. The Helper will not come if I don't go. And so Jesus knew that his mission was to go to the cross. It was to go to Jerusalem and to go to the cross. And so he knew that the Holy Spirit then would be there with them shortly after. And that's the way it turned out, as we talked about last week, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming in the second chapter of Acts. 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind, just as the prophet Joel prophesied back in Joel 2:28. That prophecy said, "And it shall come to pass that afterward," or in the latter days, "my Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy, my old men will dream dreams, my young men will see visions, even my men servants and my maid servants will prophesy." And so then Joel went on to say there will be blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and all this stuff will happen. "And all who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved." And so just as Joel prophesied and Jesus spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you will receive power to be my witnesses." And so in John chapter 16, Jesus then is instructing them before he gets to the cross, "Nevertheless, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus is giving the instructions, giving the timeline. He's saying, "When I depart, I will send him to you." And just as he spoke those words, it came to pass in the Acts chapter 2, 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Well, in John 16, verse 8, Jesus goes on, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Well, why those three things? What is Jesus saying? Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Well, that is the primary job of the Holy Spirit now, in addition to abiding in believers and counseling believers. The Holy Spirit is working all over the earth in the lives of people who don't even confess Jesus. He's convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Why of sin? Of sin, Jesus says, because they do not believe in me. And so that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because everywhere you look, there's evidence of Jesus Christ. There's evidence of the creation of God, God's creation, the magnificent creation, the things that you see every day, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, trees, animals, everything you see is a witness to God, the creator, Elohim. And so when you lie against the Holy Spirit, you deny the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You deny that the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of your sin and convicting you and saying to you that you need a Savior. You need to be reconciled back to God, and so your sins can be forgiven. And so when you deny that, then you're denying the truth of the Holy Spirit, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 10, John 16, of righteousness, Jesus says, I go because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Well, that's a reference to the resurrection. Jesus said that he was going to rise again on the third day, that he would lay his life down, and that he would take it up again on the third day. And it happened just exactly like Jesus said it was going to happen, that he had the power to lay his life down, the power to take it up again. And so Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to the Father, and you will see me no more. And then verse 11, John 16, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Well, Jesus judged the ruler of this world at the cross. He made an open show of the ruler of this world. He showed that he had power over death. He showed the world that he had power over the plans and the schemes of the enemy. And even today, he has power over the schemes and plans of the enemy. And he has power in your life to defeat the plans of the enemy in your life. And so the ruler has been judged. Yes, the ruler of this world is still active. He's still out there running about, going to and fro on the earth. That is Satan. That is the devil. That is Lucifer. He's still running around. He hasn't been bound to this point where he can't cause confusion and he can't cause death and destruction. He has not been bound to that point, but someday he's going to be bound because he has been judged. And there is no way that he is going to escape the judgment, which is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Read Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 20, and you'll see the final judgment pronounced and activated on the devil. And so he is judged. He is not bound. He still, with his demons, can create mayhem and chaos and create confusion. But his time is coming, and he knows it. And that is why he is so desperate to take people with him and drag people with him to the pit of hell. Well, verse 13 in John 16, Jesus goes on to say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Well, that is a truism. That is a truthful statement. And who doesn't need to be guided into all truth? It's very easy to get confused in this world. It's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to get off track and forget that God created us and forget that God created us for a purpose. And so the Holy Spirit reminds us, counsels us, teaches us, and guides us into all truth so that we can stay on track, so that we don't get lost as we navigate through all of the temptations and all of the schemes of the evil one. Jesus goes on to say, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. And so that is the source, the foundation of the gift of prophecy. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of prophecy, and it's also one of the foundational office gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, one of the foundational office gifts is the office of the prophet. There's also a prophecy gift given in Romans chapter 12. And so three different places, there's different types of prophecy given. Prophecy over nations, prophecy over the church, prophecy over individuals. And so as a believer, we have the gift of prophecy, and this is where it comes from. Jesus said, he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he's hearing from God. So that's how he can know the future, because God isn't bound by time. God isn't bound by days and months and years. God can see into the end, and he can see back to the beginning. And so the Holy Spirit can show us things yet to come. He will tell you things to come. And so you can know to some extent, not with 100% accuracy, because no person sees all of everything clearly. No person sees everything, the details of every situation into the future. But he can show you things to come. So you have an idea what's coming in your life. You have an idea what's coming for your nation. You have an idea what's coming for your family. He will tell you things to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So it comes from the Father, comes to Jesus, comes to the Holy Spirit, and then it comes to you. And because of that sharing of the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit in your life, you can know things that you would not know or have any way to know were it not for the Holy Spirit telling you those things. Well, I'm going to close today. We've got just a few minutes left. I'm going to close today with a story from Acts chapter 19. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 19. And last week we talked about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10. And so that was an important step in the Holy Spirit being poured out on all mankind. First, it went to the Jews in Jerusalem. Then it went to the Gentiles in the family of Cornelius in Joppa. And then it came to this group of people here in Corinth and eventually to Ephesus. Oh, it's actually Luke writing this story, but it's about the Apostle Paul. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, verse 2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And so they had not been instructed on the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. They had not received any instruction. They said, "We don't even know that there is such a thing." And Paul said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And so they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And so that's a repeating of the verse that John spoke, Matthew 3:11. We looked at it last week. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but there's a person coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so that's what Paul is referring to. He's telling these brothers, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, because these brothers had received the water baptism. They had been somewhere, either in Jerusalem or somewhere else, and they had received that water baptism. They didn't know what was beyond that. They had no knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but they knew they had been baptized for remission of their sins, saying to the people that they should believe on him, on Jesus, who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And so that's a pretty remarkable passage of Scripture, a pretty remarkable event. Paul instructed them, there's something beyond that water baptism. There's something beyond that baptism for repentance. The baptism of Jesus Christ is a baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what John the Baptist spoke about it. That's what several of the Gospels tell about, that Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the evidence of that was that they began to speak with tongues and they began to prophesy. And there was about 12 men in all. That's a significant number. That's the number of the 12 disciples. That's also the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the fact that there was 12 of these men that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit tells you this was a very significant event in church history. Well, I hope you enjoyed these messages on the Holy Spirit. We've got one more to go next week. And so tune in for that. We'll teach some more on the Holy Spirit. And beloved, this is a wonderful teaching. You need to read those chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, for yourself and take them in and understand that the Holy Spirit of the living God is God's plan for you to have the Spirit of the living God walk with you, be with you, be in you for all of the days of your life here on this earth. Well, we hope you enjoy these messages. We hope that you reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to have your support to keep these radio messages coming and at the same time be able to keep the projects going in Africa. This school project that we have going is a great project. It's going to be a transformational project for that Makunda village. And it's going to change young people's lives, children's lives, but it's also going to change the lives of the villagers there in that village of Makunda. So we'd love to hear from you. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. You can include prayer requests, include a letter or a note. Let us know you're listening and include prayer requests. If you let us know what you want prayers for, we can be praying for you as you listen to these broadcasts each and every Sunday. Our contact information, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. It's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can use your debit or credit card at PayPal, paypal.me/ Gather the Outcast. That's paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, have been for many years, and so we'd love to hear from you. Take the time today to contact us. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.